I'm in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And in parenthesis, for all. Amen. Remember, a one-time sacrifice that has already been given and will never, ever, there will never, ever be another one available. Amen. That's all we need to get us from here to heaven. You may be seated. Amen. That's all we need. It's the plan that we work with now. I'm glad we don't have to take animals to go to church when we go to church. We meet a few, it seems, sometimes, but I'm glad we don't have to take our pets with us to church. They weren't really pets, I don't think. But that was quite a scene there once a year when they would offer up those sacrifices. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus knew what it would take for me to be able to come clean with a way that I could put sin away. We can put sin out of our lives. Amen. You can cast your own devil out. All you have to do to cast him out is say, Jesus. Amen. That name is a lot more powerful than a lot of us realize. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, including the devil's. Amen. And you can cast everything that goes with the devil out in the name of Jesus. Now, a lot of people down in Louisiana, I've been around where they make a big show of casting out the devils, and devils get in the ones casting out the devils. Because it gets to be a thing of a mockery. I've seen services interrupted by casting out of devils, but I started noticing that the same people keep getting them cast out over and over. And it's you know, down there when I went to some of these meetings, not in all places, but in some of the meetings I went to, it was like at a certain point in the service, if you haven't cast out a few devils, you haven't had church yet. But it started being kind of ridiculous because those devils took up all the time. Couldn't have preaching because we were too busy casting out devils. Anytime you're so busy casting out devils you can't have preaching, something's gone wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in casting out devils. I've cast them out in the name of Jesus. And when they're real, when it's not just some kind of a show or when it's not some kind of mockery thing going on, they do come out in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something else, though. Be careful in casting out devils, because if the person's not ready to live for God, hey, you just make them worse. Because, yeah, it works. They go out. And if they're not going to get themselves right with God, if it's just going to be something you get rid of their devils, and they're not going to get saved, they're going to be seven times worse after you cast the devil out, because they just come right back again. They come right back and bring others with them. And the more you cast the devils out, a lot of you may not know this, but the more you cast the devils out of people that are not ready to live for God, the worse they get. And you can cast them out. I've done it. I know. And there have been a few I cast out. I wish I'd left them alone. Because those people were not ready to live for God. Even with the devil cast out, they still had a decision to make on their own. And we blame a lot of things on the devil. Sometimes we need to cast ourselves out. Our human brain is the biggest devil we got sometimes, our thoughts. And the Bible tells us to cast down evil imaginations, to cast out these things that drive us and cause us to think, I can't do this because of that, or I can't do that because of this. Cast that all away. Gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. But when folks don't have their mind made up to live for God, amen, it's better to keep on leading them, because the opportunity will come when they get to that point that they will call on the name of Jesus. And there will be folks who have had some time watching them grow who have become burdened with them and for them, and they will have had a little taste of something that they want more of. And sooner or later, as we keep planting and keep watering, God will give the increase, and at a certain point, the devil won't be able to take it anymore. Hallelujah. He won't be able to take it anymore. But I'm not getting into that part very much right now. There's a lot that can be learned about casting out devils. In fact, I'll just say this before I go on to what I want to talk about. We had a revival going on, and I had these ministers that just loved to cast out devils preaching for me. And they had this one guy down on the floor, and he was foaming at the mouth and crawling like a snake and hissing. And he, you know, these evangelists didn't know that, but he did that in every revival we had. And it was like, we're going to have a revival, we can expect Brother Aaron to be a devil. Because you just couldn't have a revival without him crawling around like a snake and hissing at everybody. And so we were in the middle of this move of God, and it was a real move of God, and Aaron wanted all the attention again. That's what that was. It wasn't really the devil, I don't believe. I think it was Aaron, like a child, saying, pay attention to me. I just want your attention. Of course, the devil gets in that, or something that we call the devil. I don't think the devil knows anything about most of what we do, because he's not as big as a lot of people think he is. He's not like God. He can't be everywhere all the time. He can only be one place at a time. And I don't think he's spending all his time here. Hallelujah. And God's everywhere all the time. Wherever the devil is, he is bound by chains of darkness. He is sentenced to eternal damnation and a burning inferno with a bottomless pit, and he's always going to be going down. So, why be so afraid of the devil? But it's all these little imps that want to be like the devil that act up. And you start giving into your way of thinking, your way of doing. They jump on you and make you think you've got the devil, or make you want to show others you've got the devil. So these games get started. And Aaron was in the floor doing his thing, hissing and foaming and crawling and, you know, and making these funny sounds. And I finally just said, get up. I'm tired of your foolishness. I cast the Aaron out of you. I said, that's not a devil. He looked up at me and said, yes, it is. Somebody came over, tapped me on the shoulder, said, Brother Rutledge, you need to be real careful. This is a real devil. Wish it was a real devil. We would really cast him out, too. I ain't scared of the devil. Amen. One board member came up and said, you need to stop saying devil so much. He was the worst devil I had. He's the one that slapped me. And then tried to pay me money to not tell anybody he slapped me. That was years ago. But I got hung up there on devils for a second. But what I'm really talking about tonight is God did away with something to give us something better. But at the same time he did away with that old way and introduced the new way, don't ever get to thinking because God abolished the law, which included the sacrifices and so forth, don't ever get to thinking that it's all right now to do the things that the law said thou shalt not do. Because God's law is now written in the hearts of His people. What God did through Jesus is took the writing of it that was on tablets and He placed it inside the hearts of those who would love Him. Hallelujah. And now, when I don't sin, it's because I love Jesus. And Jesus paid the price to separate us from our sins, and He put something in us that says, I know what to do. I know what God wants me to do. I know what the answer is to this situation that I'm confronted with. Now, I may act like I don't know, but I really do know. Because God wrote it in my heart. And when God writes it in our hearts, we know what to do. Praise the name of Jesus. And when we do it, we will do it because it's in our hearts to do it. Amen. See, these priests, they would stand daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the power of God, or in other words, the right hand of God. I said it like that so it would kind of keep being a reminder on your mind. Every time you see the right hand of God referring to Jesus Christ, it's talking about the power of the mighty God in Christ. That's what the right hand of God is all about. It's not a second person. It's the power of God. That's the right hand of God. And that's what Jesus is all about. Thank you, Jesus. I got a lot of Bible for that, but I'm not going to take all night. You can just scratch your head and wonder how God came up with that. But it's in your Bibles too. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, everybody say one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, there are people that will take this verse of Scripture and say, okay, so what Jesus did at Calvary saved everybody forever. And then there's this doctrine that comes from all that, says once saved, always saved, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until everybody's saved, nobody can get lost. I mean, it's just Jesus did it. In fact, it gets so far out that you can't even do anything. You can't say anything. There's nothing to change. You don't even have to repent. Jesus just did it all, and there's nothing you can do. And no matter how you live, you can't go to hell. You're going to go to heaven because you're saved. All you got to do is say, I believe. Now, I've heard that all my life. And people swallow it hook, line, and sinker, but it's not true. And that is a real devil, or at least it's something like devils that would teach you that. And I would rather spend my time confronting that devil than telling Aaron to get up out of the floor and stop hissing. Because that wasn't real. That was a show he was putting on. This other thing is real. It's causing people by the multitudes to think they're saved when they're still lost. To think they're going to heaven when they're not going to heaven. Just simply because they don't understand the Scripture. And old Slewfoot or some of his followers has crawled up on their shoulder and whispered in their ear, see, here's all you got to do. Just accept the fact that Jesus did it all and there's nothing else you can do. That's not the whole Word of God. That's one verse taken out of context when it's done that way. Amen. For one, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. The word sanctified has to do with being separated from iniquity. Being separated from your sins. Now these people that are teaching these false doctrines are teaching you can't keep from sinning more or less every day. I wish y'all quit playing with that chair because it's distracting me while I'm preaching, okay? You can't keep from sinning more or less every day. They teach along with this doctrine. Jesus did it all and there's nothing else that you can do because it's all taken care of through the blood of Christ. And you can't keep from sinning more or less every day because we all know we're just human. Well, now God's Word says that we are to be freed from sin and that the wages of sin is death. And it says that we cannot sin and please God. In many ways it says that. Hallelujah. But one offering, Jesus our Lord has perfected forever them that are free from sin. Set apart. That means you're not a sinner anymore. And as long as you're not a sinner anymore, you're perfected forever.
Hallelujah.
But when you sin, forever had a period at the end and it's not forever anymore. When sin enters into the picture, hey, it has to be dealt with. It's time to deal with sin. Now, it's good for us to hear these things because there's so much of this confusion out there that God is not the author of, but something else, some of the Spirit is suggesting these things. You don't have to listen to this. You don't have to listen to that. But it's the Word of God that's coming forth they're saying you don't need to listen to. And if something's trying to tell you out there, you don't have to hear this. You don't need to listen to this. But what you're hearing, if you can find it in the Bible, and it is the Bible that you're hearing, then whatever that is saying that you don't have to listen to this needs to be told to back off in Jesus' name. Because we need to hear the Word of the Lord. We need to hear the Word of the Lord. That's how faith comes into our life. That's what the ability to overcome all things comes from. It's a result of hearing the Word of the Lord. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And when you got the law of God in your heart and in your mind, you stop sinning. You do what it takes to get sin out of your life. Whatever God has commanded in His Word, you're willing to do it. Why? Because it's in your heart to serve the Lord. Come what may, no matter what I have to do, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to obey the Lord because my heart has Jesus in it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, where remission of sin of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So, when this is another way of saying when sin has been removed out of your life, when sin has been taken out of your life, you don't have to go around trying to find something to offer up for sin. where remission is, where remission of sin and iniquity is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, you don't have to go back to the priest or the tabernacle or the sacrifice anymore. God, once and for all, forever settled it with one sacrifice for the people that will come to Jesus forever. Those that are sanctified can find cleansing and can find help in the time of need. If you've ever been freed from sin, you still got a sacrifice that works. Hallelujah. If you've ever been set free from sin, you still have a sacrifice. There's no reason to ever go looking for another sacrifice. There is no amount of push-ups you can do to straighten out the mess you're in. Crawling on glass won't get the job done. Cutting yourself won't get the job done. Torturing yourself, burning yourself, that won't get the job done. The job's already done. And the only thing we have to do is come back to the one that did the job. Hallelujah. Come back to that that's already been made available. Hallelujah, because there is no more offering for sin once remission is there. But if sin does come back, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our lawyer. He is the one that pleads our cause. Now, some people don't understand that. They see little Jesus before Father God said, "Oh, Father, you see how Bill Bradley messed up this week. I'm pleading that you would forgive him one more time. I know you're sick of him riding that horse backwards, but it needs to be... We'll get him straightened out if you'll just bear with me, Lord. I'll work with him. I'll work with him. I'll work with him. Give me a little more time. I'll straighten Bill Bradley out." It's not like that at all.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
We don't have Jesus running to the throne 50,000 times an hour for the multitudes around the world trying to see if he can get Father God to give this guy one more chance. Now, you think about how ridiculous this doctrine is, that he's constantly going to the throne asking God, because he is the mediator between God and man. So people don't understand. And all they see is, "Oh, Jesus going to the Father for me right now." Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not bringing you some new doctrine, some new theory. I'm just bringing you the word of the Lord. The sacrifice was made one time. Thank you, Jesus. The mediator did his work once and for all. The sacrifice of the Lamb of God was made at the altar of God, by God, and for God. Hallelujah. Once. And there is no other. There is no other plan, and there's no other way to get your sins taken out of your life. You got to go to the lawyer. How do you go to the lawyer? You just say, "God, I messed up. I'm sorry." And immediately, everything in the law kicks in that's in the heart of God and in your heart. And just be thankful that the sacrifice was made once and for all. And you are cleansed. You're set free. You're sanctified. You're blood bought. You're okay. Such were some of you, but now you're washed. Now you're cleansed. Now you're justified. Now you're sanctified through the blood of Jesus. This now can mean you may not have been sanctified and cleansed and purified when you came to church tonight, but now you are. And it might have only come through the preaching of the Word, because He does wash us with the Word. And something happened in your heart while I was speaking up here and just talking and being loud and wandering off and chasing devils, and all of a sudden I said something, it just clicked. And it said, "Hey, I have somebody that has already pleaded my cause, and I've already been set free." And if it has dawned on you that you're free from sin right now, it doesn't matter what happened an hour ago, now you're cleansed, now you're washed, now you're justified, now you're sanctified, now you're set free. Hallelujah. He's the God of now being the accepted time. Isn't that great? It's not a thing of Jesus running back and forth, running back and forth, running back and forth. He stretched out his hands one time, shed his blood, and we can run back and forth. Praise God. We don't want to sin, but if you sin, we have Bible to tell us, if you sin, you have something that has been worked out by God Himself, and a way to fix it. Thank you, Jesus. Come boldly to the throne, and you'll find help in the time of need. I tell you, when we need help, it's when we need help. See, a lot of people want to shy away from where the answer is. You get to think, "Oh, I messed up, so I'll hide from God." No, we won't hide from God. What He wants us to do is come boldly. How do you expect Him to fix it if you won't be open with Him? Hallelujah. Your mistakes He already knows about. But you may not know how to overcome your mistakes. He knows how to help you overcome them. He's already supplied everything it takes to straighten the mess out. All He wants you to do is come where the scepter is out, where the king is saying, come into my chambers. I know what you need. The law has already been given, and everything that's needed on your behalf has already been dealt with, taken care of. And if you will do what the Word of God instructs you to do, you can leave this moment that you're going through victorious and clean and free and pure, because the King of Kings has your answer. That's why you need to go boldly to the throne. There's an invitation there. There's a handout with a scepter and it said, you're not going to die when you get here. In fact, you're going to live if you'll come here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Too many people claim to be Christians and they're always provoking each other in a different way. God wants us to do something to cause somebody else to want to say hallelujah. To cause somebody else to want to rejoice. If I can do something to make you say, thank you, Jesus, I have provoked you to do that. That word provoked means that. It doesn't mean make them mad. It means make them glad. Make them glad. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because you start forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, then you miss out on the preaching, miss out on testimonies, miss out on the good times of victory and jubilee and people saying, I overcame, God set me free. Something happened on the job today, but thank God it's okay. I went broke, lost all my money, lost my clothes, lost my house, lost everything I got, and all you see is this sheet wrapped around me. That's all I got left. But praise be to God, I'm going to make it. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to hear that. And then we need to come back to church again to see, did it happen? Did it happen? Did it happen? Come looking for that person that had the sheet around them and didn't have anything left and everything was gone. All the money was gone. The house was gone. The husband's gone. Kids are gone. The dogs are gone. I don't have anything, but I'm going to make it. And here they come, wearing something nice and new, driving a new car, saying, woo, look what God did for me. Now, you would have missed that if you'd have forsaken that night. Because you'd have probably been out somewhere saying, I wonder how I'm going to get through this problem I'm going through. And your answer would have been a reminder in that jubilee of how somebody helped somebody to just do what they needed to do because God helped that person to come from where they were to where they are now. And it all happened at church, where we assemble ourselves. Hallelujah. Where we assemble ourselves. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Now I'm going to close with a few words here concerning willful sin. Amen. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, this is not anything new that is different than what's already been said concerning the sacrifice. There is no more sacrifice for sins, period. God did one thing that covers all from here on. One sacrifice. There is no more sacrifice for sin. Just Jesus Christ crucified. That's it. Amen. And so, we don't want to live like they lived back in the days of the law. Because in the days of the law, they were reminded over and over, I'm a sinner. I keep sinning. I keep messing up. But I know one thing I can look forward to. Pretty soon I can take this animal. I can take this animal and sprinkle some blood. And there is a plan where I can kind of roll this stuff away, roll it forward, where I can go on. And I know I'm going to sin again, but I'll get that taken care of next year. No, that's all been done away with. It's not done like that anymore. Now when we willfully sin, we need to bear in mind, hey, we only have one sacrifice, and when you sin on purpose, you're actually trampling on the blood of that one sacrifice. And that's serious business. That's serious business. Because he's not just an animal. He's not just an ordinary lamb. He's not just a goat. He's not just a heifer. He's not just a turtle dove or a pigeon. This is Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So we need to stop ourselves when we start to willfully sin and realize, hey, there is only that one sacrifice and I have no other sacrifice. And there's nothing really left when you willfully sin. We don't have any plan that says, hey, I've got this opportunity to go back and get this blood sprinkled and just get another animal and roll it forward. No. You willfully sin, you only have one place you can go. And that's that one sacrifice that you've been walking on. Hallelujah. Because you have nothing left but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. This is talking about God's enemies. When you start trampling on the blood of Jesus, you're an enemy to God. And if you're afraid and you're running in fear, you got a reason to be afraid. Because God's against you now. Amen. After he set you free, and then you turn around and trample on his blood and act like it's worthless, don't mean anything, he's mad. He's angry. Praise God. You're his enemy when you get in that condition. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Died without mercy. Thank God we're living in a time when mercy prevails. We're not living in the time of Moses and the law of Moses. And if you stop reading here and talk about this fiery indignation, all you have to look forward to and how God's going to devour you because you're an enemy to God now, you'll feel like a hopeless case and there's no hope. But don't forget what you've already heard. There remains that one sacrifice and that one scepter stretched out and that invitation to whosoever will to come and find help in the time of need. The lawgiver and the advocate is still available. No matter what you've done, how serious it was, how willful it was, how much of an enemy to God you were, don't forget about mercy and find your help in a time of need at the house of God. Amen. Don't forget about mercy. He that despised the law of Moses died without mercy. Under two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified to an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace? How do you feel about it? This is what he's saying. It's a question. What do you suppose? After the law was as harsh and as rough as it was when people willfully went against the law of Moses. And now we're talking about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And it goes on and says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord said, shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I spent a lot of time in offices People read this and said, I premeditated my sin, and now God's against me. If you stay there, He is. What you need to do is get the blood back covering you instead of you stepping on the blood. And there's hope. Amen. I could go on and on. If you keep on reading, and you keep on reading the other chapters, and you go back and read some before, it all comes back to now. You still have available the mercy of God. His mercy endureth forever. Without mercy, under the law of Moses, people that messed up time and time again were finally killed without mercy. But under the law written in our hearts, sprinkled by the blood of Christ in our hearts through the blood shed at Calvary, we're not without mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't forget about mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't care what you've done. Mercy's not dead. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mercy is alive. Mercy's alive forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's really very simple. Got all this stuff against us, and we know we've done wrong, and we even did it on purpose. Then we got the Word of God that says, you're in trouble, big boy. You're in big trouble. You're trampling on the very blood of the sacrifice that you once was praising God because of how it set you free. Now look at you. Now look at you. And what happens, the evil accuser of the brethren joins in, and he forms a choir, and they start singing together right into your ear, and you become the audience. And the choir gets bigger and bigger and sings in beautiful harmony. You're unworthy. You're unworthy. Unworthy. There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no hope for you. And we think, oh me. Oh my. And if we're not careful, we forget about the Word of God. Praise God, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short. And we need help. Praise God. Mercy. If you'll just change channels, and you'll hear something with the same tune singing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Isn't that better than you're unworthy? Yeah. Hallelujah. And when you start joining into that chorus and you start singing hallelujah, amen, something starts separating you from sin. You can't sin and shout with a voice of triumph at the same time. You can't be a sinner and praise God with all your heart at the same time. When you start praising God, the choir of the devil bust up. It runs away. They don't know what to do. They kill themselves. They run over each other. What's going on? Something went wrong. We lost our choir leader. There's something going on here. Yeah, they're praising God. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. You don't have to get down on the floor and foam at the mouth and crawl like a snake to get this to happen. Just start praising God. Praising God. See, the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. Come around the front. He inhabits. What does that mean? It means when you start praising God, He lives in it. And He's right there. He's right there saying, I'm here. Because He receives His praise. Amen. We praise Him and He receives His praise. The praise goes to God. He receives it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means you're there, for the invitation for you has been given to be there. You're in the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord. How do I know that? I'm praising Him. You can't praise the Lord and serve the devil at the same time and save your life. Hallelujah. Now you might say praise the Lord and not mean it. That's a different story. But if you're praising Him, I promise you, you can only do that when you're clean. And you may not have been clean a minute ago, but you can be clean now if you start praising Him. Hallelujah. Especially if you've ever lived for Him. Because when you get in His presence, you start praising Him, He starts cleaning out the junk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that which gets stuck in there won't go. He'll just get rid of it. Praise God. He'll thump it out of the way. Pretty soon, you won't just be praising Him for a minute. You'll just start praising Him more. Have you ever been praying when you didn't feel like it, and after a while you couldn't stop praying? Hallelujah. Start off, it's a burden, it's hard, it's difficult, and then after a while, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, something changed. What was it? God came on the scene, and He said, I'm hearing your prayer. I'm enjoying your praise. I'm here to bless you, my child. Praise His name. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 That's why we sing that song, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer unto Him sacrifices of thanksgiving. When you don't know what to do to get yourself out from under all this guilt and shame, just start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. And mean it from your heart. Mean it from your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your way out of trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You might ask the question, well, what about repentance? You can't praise Him unless you repent. Ain't no way to praise God if you're still harboring sin in your life. And you can shout all you want to, but you're not praising Him until you get rid of your sins. And when you start praising Him, sins are gone. Now, it doesn't mean you're saved without baptism. It doesn't mean you're saved without the other things that are necessary. But it means for right now, you're clean. And God will only dwell in a clean temple. Amen. You can't get the Holy Ghost without the Holy Ghost coming in to clean you out. Amen. You can't. I mean, God's not going to come into an unclean place, for the devils are. So what you do, He knocks on the door and you say, come in. He says, not in there. It's too dark. What do I do? How do I change my darkness? You're going to have to let some light come in. Or where do I get it? I'm the light. Well, come on in. Not with all that darkness in there. What am I going to do? I need your light. Shout praises to God. See what happens. Hallelujah! Phew, light comes in. I tell you, it doesn't take long for light to replace darkness. One hallelujah turns on a great big transformer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He doesn't stand all day and knock if you start praising Him. Hallelujah. You praise Him. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It may not feel right at first, but I promise you, it'll start feeling good in a minute. Just keep praising Him. Just keep praising Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. you don't praise me, Jesus said, the rocks will cry out praises. So that means praise is important. Very important. Amen. TB Zona needs prayer. Unspoken need. Jesus, right now, we ask you to touch this lady. God, whatever the need is, do what is necessary. Let what you have provided through Calvary, Lord, take care of it in Jesus' name. Your healing power, your cleansing power, your saving power. We want to praise you, Holy Father, Savior of all things. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I was a little boy, I went up to my daddy. As my dad had said, come here. I'm going to talk to you about what you did. And I had a fearful heart. Fearful heart. I was trembling. Because I was guilty. And what I did was bad. And my dad had a look on his face like he was going to kill me. And I had no choice but to go to him. That look on his face and that hand reaching out saying, you come here, meant to do anything else would be pure hell on earth. And I eased my way toward my father, full of vengeance in his eyes, wrath in his hands, ready to wring my neck. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a Rutledge. This is what God was talking about through the Word. It's a fearful thing. Because you're in trouble with God if you're willfully out there doing something wrong after He's already set you free and you're guilty again. He said, you come here. Now, before it was whosoever will may come. Now, get over here. Oh God, why'd you let my car wreck? You know I need that car. I'm saying, come here. Quit going that way. How'd you let me get so sick? Come here. What do I have to do to make you know that I mean it when I say you get back where you belong? You serve me and you trampled on my blood and I'm calling you to come back home. Why are you being so mean? I'm not being mean. I'm loving you. Because when I went to my daddy with all that vengeance in his eyes, I had willfully sinned against our family, against his ministry. I was not worthy to be called a Rutledge anymore. And he was showing me that he meant business. When I got to him, he reached out and hugged me and he said, now son, don't do that anymore. Whew. That was the end of it. It's just that simple with God. Come here. I mean it. Stop being like you are. You don't have to live that way. Well, why are you being so stern? You'll see when you get here. And you get there, he just throws his arm around and says, because I love you. I want to help you. I'm here to make a way for you. You don't have to live in defeat anymore. Let's praise Him again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have a person here that's beating on some people every night before bed and some abuse going on. God, we're asking you, Lord, to stop this abuse that's happening there. And this person has asked us to pray, and we just ask you right now, God, to take it in your hand, and you're able to make a difference. And we just ask you now to stop that abuse and to cause them to see a difference in that home. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'll see you next service.